Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Oh yes, right here on The Healthy Mind. Welcome everybody, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast for August 22nd, 2012. I am so happy that you've joined me today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. Folks, I have a great show planned for you today. We are going to be talking about how to be a better listener. Do you think you listen? Do you really think that you listen well? Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? I want to talk a little bit about how we go about becoming better listeners, some of the traps that we can fall into, and some very quick, easy tips to make you a better listener, really, starting by the end of this podcast. So you're going to want to stick around today. We're going to be talking about listening and how we can be better listeners. And we've got great, great news, busy, busy week of news. You're going to want to stick around for the second half of the program. Some amazing, amazing new news on the effect of stress. Would you believe it? The effect of stress on our DNA, our genetic material directly, this new study. Just amazing, the mind-body implications of that. And also, how we can channel our anger into more creativity. Fascinating new study that was done, anger and creativity. So I'm really glad that you are here. We've got a great show. We'll do some headlines, and hey, we've got ourselves a great show. So I am really happy that you are here today. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Also, don't hesitate to email me, peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. Okay, now, how well do you think you listen? Are you a good listener? Have people told you that you're a good listener? Or on the other hand, do people tell you, you don't even hear what I'm saying? You never listen to me. Well, there really is an art to listening. And I mean really, really listening to another person. And it is so critical these days, especially in today's hyper-connected, hyper-distracted world. The art of a conversation, of two people sitting down and talking, and both people actually hearing what the other person is saying. I don't mean literally hearing the sound waves of somebody talking, but really hearing what somebody has to say, paying attention, and meeting them on a level where, number one, you get what they're saying, and number two, they really appreciate the fact that you are listening. And that's what I want to talk about today, because really, at least where I see it in my practice, particularly when couples come in or there are issues at work or with children, it's a big issue of communication, but really of listening. And it's so important because being heard, really being heard, is so important to all of us. You know, in my opinion, I think the biggest reason that relationships of all types get into problems is not because people don't talk to each other, but where it breaks down is that people don't feel that they are heard. People need to be valued. All of us need to be valued. That what we say matters. And on a deeper level, on a deeper kind of existential level, because what we say matters, we matter. And we show that because we take the time to listen to somebody. Now, I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, well, I listen perfectly, Dr. Zafiridis. I don't have any problems listening. But then let me ask you this. When you're in a conversation with somebody, how much is really listening to the person versus just waiting for when they take a breath so that you can say something? Or you're so ready to say something that you're just really blocking out what they're saying. You've heard little parts of it, but you know what you're going to say back or argue back or make a point back. Does that sound familiar? I mean, when I talk a lot to individuals, what I hear is a lot of times people aren't listening. They're just waiting to talk next. And that's a huge, huge difference from meeting a person on their level and genuinely hearing what they have to say, really listening. And the payback isn't just for that person and them feeling as if you have heard them, but it's reciprocal. When you take the time and really listen to someone, value, genuinely hear what they say, and then take the time to discuss it on that level, on a deep level, you get it back exponentially. When you're able to talk to someone and they feel that you've heard them, they want to engage you. They want to tell you more. They want to hear you. So this isn't a wasted exercise, and this is what I always try and impress upon couples or individuals or parents or children. Take the time to really learn how to listen, and you will see that you'll be heard even more. It's really a fascinating thing, but we're human, and it isn't just about hearing us, but that we truly listen and understand a person means we validate they exist, and that can be very, very powerful in a reciprocal relationship. So, how do we become better listeners? And there's 4 points that I want you to consider and see if this doesn't help you listen a bit better. The first point is slow down. Slow down. When someone is talking to you, take the time to slow down. And what I mean slow down, I don't mean physically, but gear down from the things that you have to worry about. Don't be thinking about something else that you have to do or an obligation or even what you want to say next. Slow down and be present in the moment. This is so powerful. I know I say this over and over again on The Healthy Mind, to stay present in the moment and how powerful that is for you, but it is incredibly powerful in relationships and talking to each other and communication. Be present in the moment for that person. Slow down and block everything else out. Now, the second point, empathize. Empathize. Now, this isn't easy to do because we are human beings. We've been through our own experience by virtue of our life, right? We've had the ups, we've had the downs. We know what gets us angry. We know what makes us happy. But when a person's talking to us, we need to do our best to see their side of the story, even if it runs counter to our opinion or it's something that we disagree with. Take the time to empathize and see the other person's side without it feeling as if it's threatening to you just because you want to take the time to understand. This is so critical. This is one of the most important things that comes up in problems of communication or relationship breakdowns. Take the time to empathize and see the other person's side. Now, number 3, navigate your feelings. Take the time to see what is welling up in you. If you're getting too emotional or you feel like you've pulled away too much, snap back, figure out why that's happening, and stay present with that person. Don't get angry. Don't get defensive. Engage the person. Give yourself the compassion and the kindness that you don't have to react emotionally, that the person isn't necessarily there to hurt you. And in navigating your feelings, you can stay true to the person that you're speaking to. And finally, speak, of course. That's a part of listening too, right? When you listen, someone wants feedback from you. But when you speak, personalize it. Take the time to echo back what that person has tried to convey to you. We do these little things by telling people what we have heard, and that validates the person. It makes them feel as if you value what they have to say because you understand it. And if we take it further, it means what they say matters. It means that they matter and that they exist. And that is reciprocal. You'll see it. People will engage you. They'll value your opinion more because you're not dismissing theirs. And relationships build and they grow. So those are just a few tips. Number one, slow down and be present in the moment for that person. Number two, empathize with them. See their point of view, even though it might not be your point of view. Navigate your feelings. Number three, try not to get too emotional just when you're listening. And then speak when it's appropriate, but personalize it to folks. If you can take the time to think about that and practice that, you are well on your way to being a much, much better listener. And you'll see, you'll be an even better communicator. It'll happen. The more you listen, the more you are heard. And that, my friends, is a wonderful step to take as we walk down our road to the healthy mind. And now, it's time for news. Okay, wow. A very, very busy week for health news, particularly as it relates to the healthy mind. One of the busier weeks in quite a while. But the first story, the headline, how stress damages your DNA. Talk about mind-body health here. How stress damages your DNA. And this new research may have found a potential link to how stress actually leads to higher risk of both physical and emotional illness. Researchers, this was a European study, and I hope I say this right, but at the Ruhr Universität Bochum, a European university, found that acute stress directly alters our DNA. And because of this, the activity of the genes that that DNA codes for will change as well. And they found that stress will do this directly through a process called methylation. One of the researchers, Dr. Gunther Mendelschmidt, and forgive me if I didn't say that completely right, quote, "The results provide evidence of how stress could be related to a higher risk of mental or physical illness." Now, these research teams looked at gene segments that were relevant to biological stress regulation. Now, our DNA, it really is the roadmap. It provides a manual for all of the proteins that our bodies need. Now, the exact proteins that a cell produces depends on, well, the type of cell that it is and the environment that's around it. And that's known as an epigenetic factor or an epigenetic information. It determines which of these genes are read and then which proteins are made. It's like a biological switch. And previous studies showed that stressful experiences and psychological trauma early in life are associated with long-term altered DNA. And this was through a process called methylation. Now, what about the short term, though? Well, the studies weren't clear. Did changes in the DNA occur after an acute stress of some type, an acute psychological stress? Well, it turns out that there is a link. What these researchers did was look at two genes in particular, one that codes, and we've talked about this before many times on the healthy mind, the oxytocin receptor. Remember, we call that the love hormone or the trust hormone or the anti-stress hormone. And then another big, big factor known as brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, which is responsible for building these cells up in our brain. So what did they find? Well, they found out that acute stress didn't have a whole lot of effect on BDNF, but they did find that acute stress did affect the production of the oxytocin receptor gene, and that that would have an effect on stress, and that the stress literally caused changes in that particular gene and the way that it was expressed. You know, we're at an amazing time as we understand the science of stress and what stress does to our body. We've gone from a time where we see the links that are there or believe that they're there between stress and illness to finding that that is becoming more and more of a link to studies like this, which are getting very, very close to understanding how stress itself directly affects our body, in this case, our DNA. And in that result, we have emotional and physical illnesses. It's amazing where mind-body medicine has come. Stress can affect your DNA. Okay, next story. I love this. The headline, How to Channel Anger into Creativity. Very, very interesting study on social rejection. What the researchers found was that social rejection really, in some individuals, can fuel imaginative thinking and creativity. Now, a new study, and this was done at Johns Hopkins University, found that social rejection can inspire creativity. And this was particularly true in individuals with a strong sense of their own independence, the independent types who don't mind going against the grain. Now, according to Dr. Sharon Kim at Johns Hopkins, she stated, quote, "For people who already feel separate from the crowd, social rejection can be a form of validation. Rejection confirms for independent people what they already feel about themselves, that they're not like others. For such people, that distinction is a positive one, leading them to greater creativity." Now, this was interesting because the study took it further and they found that social rejection, fairly predictably, had the opposite effect of people who valued belonging to a group. And we've talked about how we are really kind of hardwired to social rejection and how we're so sensitive. We don't like being ostracized completely, but especially people who really want to be considered part of a group. It really hurts them. It impairs their cognitive ability. In the long term, Dr. Kim states, the creative person with an independent self-concept might even be said to thrive on rejection. While repeated rejection or rebuffs would discourage someone who really wants to be part of the group, these types of rejection really recharge the creativity of the independent person. And this could have far-reaching implications on how a person understands themselves, their sense of self-concept, and really the career that they might choose. Anger channeled into creativity, especially if you're the kind of person who marches to the beat of his own drummer. Now, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the remainder of the news headlines in a segment that I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline, and this was an amazing, amazing story. The headline, A Common Parasite May Trigger Suicide Attempts. A parasite, and it's known as Toxoplasma gondii, thought to be harmless and found in many people, may actually be causing subtle changes in the brain, leading to suicide attempts. The next headline. Time with parents is important for teens' well-being. Teenagers are famous for seeking independence from their parents, but research shows that many teens continue to spend time with their parents and that this shared time is important for teens' well-being, according to new research from Penn State University. And finally, the headline, Time Flies When You're Having Goal-Motivated Fun. Now, we've heard the old adage, right? Time flies when you're having fun. But new research has come out that suggests that while this saying is true, time flies when you're having fun that has a goal and that you're motivated towards that goal. Time flies when you're having goal-motivated fun. And speaking of time flying, we have done it again. We've done it again. We have made it to the end of yet another broadcast of The Healthy Mind. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. Please don't hesitate to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Zafiridis. That's drzafirides. And any comments, questions, criticisms, I want to hear from you. Thank you so much to all of you that keep sending those emails. But anything that's on your mind, please don't hesitate to email me. The email address is peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.